On Thursday, I got a text from a friend of mine to say, here's an important lesson for our friends and family in the older age group. Yesterday, my next door neighbour had his second dose of the vaccine at the vaccination centre. On the way home, though, he began to have blurred vision. So when he got home, he phoned the centre for advice and asked if he should see the doctor or go to hospital. He was told not to go to the doctor or to hospital, but just to return to the centre to pick his glasses up. As with every crisis, of course, there's always some humour around to help us to cope. However, it doesn't lessen the anxiety that many people feel when confronted with the serious side of COVID, which of course has proved fatal. Life is extremely precious, and the thought of losing it makes us very careful to do all we can to protect it. At the moment, for example, most of us are wearing masks, sanitising our hands, sacrificing social intimacy, and doing our best not to be spreaders of the disease, which we know, of course, can cause loss of life. As well as this, many of us are also keeping ourselves fit and healthy every day, the promenade, as people out walking or exercising their dogs, while others follow a fitness regime at home. Every time I turn on the telly, there's someone on a static bike being encouraged to produce their personal best by an American trainer shouting out, "Well done, Peloton, we did it together." So fitness is big business, and together with all the other health measures that we mentioned, is dedicated to prolonging life. But as we know, no matter how much effort we put into it, this life doesn't last forever. So in today's gospel, when our Lord proclaims the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, he is actually preparing his apostles for his death, which will also be his glorification. What does he mean by that? Two things. Firstly, we remember that for 3 years he had ministered to the Jews, fed and cared for them like a good shepherd, and announced the good news, but largely without success. But now, at precisely the hour he is approaching the climax of his life, some Greek pagans approach the Apostle Philip with a request to meet Jesus, and thus fulfilling his words, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I shall draw all men to myself." So they, those Greeks, are the first of the millions of us non-Jews by whom he is now glorified throughout the world. They, of course, were the forerunners of all those many people seeking him with a sincere heart. The second meaning is more somber and gives much food for thought. After all we said earlier about how precious life is, we now see that the hour of his glorification appears to be a very strange one, in which every reality has an opposite meaning. So dying is living, and losing is winning. Anyone who loves his life loses it. Anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it for the eternal life. What do we make of that? Well, I think there's a double-edged clue in the grain of wheat which dies. The obvious meaning, the first meaning of Mike, is that after death comes resurrection and new life, which our faith, you know, we all live in hope of when our turn comes round. But the Word of God is alive and active. So the message of the grain of wheat must also resonate with us here and now, on this world, in where we are. And it does. Dying is not just for the end of life. It's something we must do on a daily basis. If I live for myself alone, I may have huge success and acquire many things, but will remain a solitary figure. If, however, I choose a life of dying to myself in the service of others, I will produce a harvest of good works, which many of us already do, in the way that you give to charity, go without stuff that you need in order to buy for your children, the way you look after elderly relatives, the way you sacrifice your me time to help someone out, all of which is losing your own life in this world, but keeping it for the world to come. This call to sacrificial love, that's what it really is, in imitation of Christ's sacrifice of love, is summed up in a lovely quote that I saw in the Tablet magazine from a lady called Margaret Gwenther. She says this: Jesus' command is inexorable. He says, if you want to walk with me, there are no excuses and no days off. You're obsessed at the moment with riding your stationary bike, taking all your vitamins, checking your emails, and flossing your teeth every day. But here's the real obligation. It won't kill you. You might get tired, bored, scared, or fed up. But this is the condition for your walk with me. It doesn't happen any other way. Put on your sandals, your trainers, or your hefty boots. Pick up that cross, and let's get going.